Take your Bibles and look in Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We introduced a theme to you a few weeks ago that's entitled Being All In, and that is our theme that we'll be looking at, a series of messages. And I don't know how long this is going to go on, because God's in control of this, so when God says move on to something else, then we'll do that. But right now, we're going to stick to this theme for a little while, hopefully you'll be here. And our theme verse for the year, we gave that out to you. It was Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. And I trust that you will read that passage. And as we look into this message today and over the next few weeks, that you will see how that applies. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1 is where we're at today. And if you're able to stand one more time in reverence to the reading of God's Word, let's do that. As we read God's Word in just a few verses, verse 6 through 8. Says, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, saying, ye have dwelt, that is, you've stayed long enough in this mount, or at this mountain. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places, that is, all your neighbors, nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful again for the privilege of sitting under the teaching and preaching of your word today. And Lord, I have the privilege, God, to deliver your word. God, I know that anyone could do this, but I thank you that you've called upon me to do that today. And I count it a privilege, and I pray, Father, that is what is said here today from this pulpit would honor you first and foremost. Now, Fathers, we open your word this morning that we would listen and we would make application as needed in our own hearts and lives. Lord, I know, Father, the songs that you have allowed us to sing today and the message and song that we heard from Brother Rice has all been given to prepare us for this moment. We thank you for that. And Lord, it would be easy for us to assume in this room that everybody's saved, they're going to heaven, because we know most everyone here. But Lord, that would be the wrong assumption, because even those who may have their name written on a church roll may not necessarily have it written on heaven's roll. And so, Father, I pray if there be one in our midst today that's not saved, that they would give their heart to you today. Lord, we know there's a lot going on in our nation today around us, here at home, around the world. God, may you allow us to look to you for guidance. Bless now in the preaching of your word, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. There's a parable that's told about God speaking. And this parable, it talks about three men as they once heard God speak. Well, the first man did nothing. Matter of fact, confessing he simply did nothing because he didn't understand what God wanted. Now the second, after hearing God speak, allowed the fear of how he might look to keep him from doing what God had asked. So he didn't do anything either because he's afraid of how someone may judge him or look at him. Then the third man heard God and, though somewhat confused and fearful, he set out on a lifetime journey, the story says. He set on this lifetime journey going to do what God had asked him to do. And because of that, great blessings came his way. Now, these three men are in our midst today. No need to look around and look for them, for each of them exists within us. And we might ask which of the three they may be that may be here today, and after God speaks, we might ask, what are we to do? Perhaps the answer eludes us because of its simplicity. Now, we're to do what God has said to do, right? That just seems to be the right thing, to do what God says do. After all, God speaks in His time, and God expects us to move in His time. And God is speaking today, and I believe that every time that God allows us a new day to live, God expects us to listen and to move forward. And this year, we've moved into a new year, and our challenge is to be all in. And hopefully we know that God is still speaking, and God wants us to move on. As He's challenging the children of Israel in this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb," speaking to the children of Israel. They were at Mount Sinai. This is where they kindly stayed for a while, for many years actually. And God simply said, "You have dwelt," that is, you've stayed here long enough. You've been here long enough. He says, "It's time to move on from this mountain." And He gives them, in verse 7 and 8, their marching orders, pretty much. So the people of Israel, they had nearly completed their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. This was not supposed to happen, by the way. God had released them in bondage from Egypt, and they came through the Red Sea. God divided the water. You know the story. And they were supposed to move on. But yet, they got in their comfort zone for 40 years. The Bible says they wandered in the wilderness. Now, a new generation was getting ready to enter into the promised land. And Moses recounts for them the history of what had taken place before as a warning not to repeat the same mistakes. He looks at this newer, younger generation. He says, don't repeat the mistakes that the older generation made. We could say that about us, right? I mean, there's some things I've told my kids, you know, I've tried to raise you right, but, you know, there's something, the things that I've done wrong, don't do those. We've all done that as parents, probably. That's kind of what Moses was doing here to this younger generation. He reminded them that God has spoken. And through this same reminder, we're reminded of the fact that God has spoken to us today. And what does God expect of us? God expects us to heed when He speaks. So that's the message today. To be all in when God speaks. Are you there yet? Maybe there's some days that we're there. But can we really say that I'm all in? When God says do it, I'm ready to do it. Because God's going to ask you to do some things maybe this year, whether it be through the preaching or teaching of God's word or through that still small voice, much like He did with Moses. Are we willing to say, I'm all in? That's what God said to Moses. Tell the children of Israel it's time to move on. And we see in the first verse, or at least the first point this morning, that God spoke then and continues to speak today. Would you agree with that? He does. God is still speaking. God's not dead, as some would like to say, but God is alive. And He's still on the throne. He still speaks. Now, as you look at this passage, God had spoken through Moses. We know that. From the Mount Sinai, God had spoken to Israel through Moses. There were manifestations of a pillar of fire. Boy, that would get your attention, wouldn't it? all of a sudden you're walking down the road and you're excited and God begins to speak, but yet here comes a pillar of fire out. That gets your attention pretty quick, wouldn't it? God spoke in a cloud. God spoke with smoke and lightning to Moses at times. You know, there was no doubt that God had spoken, and it was time for them to move to the next level, to move on. Now, there is no doubt that God continues to speak today, as we've already mentioned. We're reminded of that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and verses 1 and 2. If you want to turn there, that's fine. But Paul reminds us that lest we get complacent, lest we ever get to the point we think, well, God is not speaking, he reminds us in Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 1 and 2. He says, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past or long ago unto the fathers by the prophets. Now in this first verse, Paul says, remember when God spoke in times past in various ways or divers manners? That divers manners speaks of in many ways. Well, how did God speak in the Old Testament and even some in the New Testament? Well, we could go back, as we've already mentioned, God sometimes spoke in visions, didn't he? We know that. God spoke in symbols. He spoke in parables, as he often did in the New Testament. It was written in poetry. You go back in the book of Psalm, and you see where God spoke through the psalmist, sometimes through poetry. And it was always God's way of revealing what he wanted his people to know. But verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. You know, God continues to speak today. God doesn't have to come down with visions. God doesn't have to come down with a great cloud or symbols or parables. Really, to be honest with you, we don't need all that. Because God has made it clear he has spoken to us in his word, the precious word of God. Every time we open it, we have the word of God. That's part of the testimony you're going to hear from this young man on Wednesday night, of how he came to know Christ. You know, God didn't have to come to us in the middle of the night and wake us up and to give us a vision of what's going to take place in our life. He's already told us. It's there. We don't need a new message, by the way. This book may be old to some, but it's still new. Yeah, we go back and you read things in the Bible in the Old Testament, you wonder how that is applied to today. Well, there's much of that does apply because the old complements the new. A lot of it has to do with our outlook on the Word of God. So God continues to speak to us today, and he does speak through his Word. So the question is, what do we need to do? Well, we need to do what God says to do, as he was telling the children of Israel, go on. Move on to the next level. You know, we cannot stay where we're at and please God. You know, sometimes we would like to stay where we're at in life, but God wants us to move maybe to that next level. It may be to do something that we've never done before in church, in our service, in the ways that we use the gifts and the abilities that God gives us. We must be willing to move forward for God, because God has something that he wants to do. And God reveals that not through the preacher or some other messenger, but God reveals that to us as we find ourselves being good stewards of the Word of God. Now, we cannot stay where we're at, as I've said, and please God. Verse 6, God gives us this verse. Yes, he may have been writing to the children of Israel, but we can apply it to today. But as we read this verse, what I gain from this passage is we have no squatter's rights as Christians. In other words, God said, that we've been here long enough. That's what he told the children of Israel. You've been here long enough. Do you see that? And God was just reminding them, you're not to stay here. Sometimes we get in our Christian life and we get in our ruts and, you know, of life. And it's so easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy to get content with what we have. And, being content is not necessarily wrong. But when it comes to service for God, we have to be careful that in that area of our life. Because God doesn't want us just to sit around and be nothing and do nothing like he was telling the children of Israel. They had it good maybe for 40 years. I mean, they sat back and God was supplying the needs and manna coming from heaven. And they did what they wanted to do pretty much. Didn't always listen to God. Most times they did not as children of Israel. God says, time to move on. There's no squatter's rights with God. Now, for 11 months, Israel, they had camped out and they had lived at the foot of Mount Sinai. And during their time of encampment, God had spoken and he made a covenant with the people. Now, we see that in the Ten Commandments as well. The Ten Commandments God had given them and us as well. That was the Word of God of how to live their life and be led in their life. And when the covenant came, knowledge and responsibility to heed to the voice of God was there. In other words, the Ten Commandments was part of not only giving them something to have a head knowledge of, but something that they can have a heart knowledge of that would give them a responsibility of how to live their life. Much like the reason why we have the Word of God today. We have the Word of God so that we can read it, have the knowledge of it, but having the Word of God also gives us the responsibility to heed the voice of God. Now, God doesn't come down to us and speak to us in an audible voice. But when you open the Word of God, God speaks, doesn't he? He will. And we are responsible. Now, those in Washington, D.C., and as I mentioned, New York, our political leaders, we would like for them to follow God's Word. We would love for that to be the case. But really the responsibility of who is to follow God's Word falls upon the believers, God's children. We're to set the example. And if we lose sight of the Word of God as the children of Israel did, and that's why that first generation didn't make it over into the Promised Land. That's what Moses was saying. Don't do what we did. We didn't follow God. So he's challenging them, as you move on, let God be your guide. But 11 months of dwelling had allowed the people to settle in life at ease. I mean, they had grown accustomed to their surroundings. And life was good. However, God never allows squatter's rights to develop, as I said, among his people. God is always moving his children on to greater heights and deeper maturity. That's what Paul stressed in his writings when you'd see and read the Apostle Paul. He was maturing in his walk with God. And that ought to be our goal this year, that we don't find ourselves just coming expecting to get everything we can get from the preacher. Or the Sunday school teacher. But we'll find ourselves resting and of course enjoying that time that we can have in God's Word and allowing God to speak to us on a one-on-one basis. And then not only taking it in, having that head and heart knowledge, but assuming the responsibility to follow through what God has spoken to us about. That would move us to greater heights and deeper maturity in our walk and our spiritual walk with God. In other words, we should never become complacent and satisfied with life of today, the way it is as in our Christian life. I enjoy my Christian life, don't you? We should. I enjoy having a good church home to come to and to serve God in. But I want to see us as Christians, and my desire as your pastor, I want more than anything to see our church grow spiritually this year than we've ever had. And I believe along with that, the numbers will take care of themselves. The numerical growth will take care of themselves. But if I can challenge you in any way as your pastor this year, get into God's Word. Let God's voice speak to you through His Word this year. Spend time every day, husbands and wives and children, into reading God's Word and memorizing God's Word, because that's what takes us to the new heights that we're talking about. Or you can decide, well, I'm just going to be a squatter. I'm just going to continue to do what I've been doing and just show up on church and let the preacher preach and take that in and let that be all I do. Well, you know what? I appreciate you coming and listening to the preacher preach, but you know what? God wants you to move to greater heights in your own walk with God. He does. You know, we've got to be focused on what God wants us to do as a church tomorrow. Yeah, today, but we need to set goals for tomorrow, for this year. Some would say that, well, there's no hope for tomorrow. Well, you listen to the news, there would not be, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that just turn us away and breaks our heart is what we hear on the news, as we mentioned a little bit this morning. But for a child of God, there is hope of tomorrow because God's in control. And however, I believe there's always going to be those that will stand in the way. You know, we should not be satisfied to remain where we are right now. If you're not a Christian, and let me say this, you need to come to Jesus today. Now we would have a tendency to believe that most everybody in this room is a believer because we know most everybody, but that would be the wrong assumption to have, wouldn't it? Because only God knows your heart and only you know where you stand with God. But if you're not a believer today, it's important you come to Christ today. Don't put it off. Christ even said today is the day of salvation. Now, if you are a believer, now realize that God's desire for us is that we would become like His dear Son and determined to be all in for God right now, today. As we face another day tomorrow, if God's will, another year, may we determine, I'm going to be all in for God. I'm not going to let some things that I've let stand in the way of me serving God this past year to stand in the way this year. Romans 8:29 says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, it's time to leave what we have known in the past to follow Jesus in the present. It is not time to be complacent as a believer. But we see a lot of that. We see a lot of that. The complacency that I believe personally that we see in society today, Christians are at fault. You take America, some of the things we're talking about. There's enough Christians, or at least enough who profess to be believers, that could hold back a lot of what's going on in our society today if enough Christians would just take a stand. But as you know, look across the room. We're like those three men that we're talking about in the opening parable. You know, we can choose to do right, or we can choose to do wrong or be complacent, or we can move on for God. But there's a lot of complacency in our society. God spoke and God continues to speak. Number two, when God speaks, He's not satisfied with us doing nothing. Now, if you have a child that you're raising or a grandchild and you give them a direct order of something to do, what do you expect them to do? Do it, right? I know you've all been here when you've given a direct order to your child or grandchild to do something, they look at you kind of cockeyed, cross the arm. Now, I couldn't do that with my mama. But you know what? There's a lot of that done today among Christians. God tells us in His Word to do something, and we look at Him. And I may be being a little bit facetious, but that's kind of the way we treat God. God has told us in His Word to do something, but we treat God like sometimes our kids have treated us or our grandkids. And rather than follow through what God says do, and we see this happening every day and among believers, we just kind of do nothing. When God wants to bless us, because the blessings that come our way is when we act upon His Word. When we choose not to act upon His Word, we rob ourselves of the blessings that God wants to bestow upon us. Now that sounds foolish, doesn't it? Well, that's because that's the way we are sometimes with God. When God speaks, He's not satisfied with us doing nothing. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 19. And when we departed, that is when we set out from Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, we went through all of that great and terrible wilderness. We went through that terrifying wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came, listen, to Kadesh Barnea. Now Moses led the people to make preparations to depart. And he says in verse 19, just as the Lord our God had commanded us, just as God says had commanded us, I led them to depart. Now the idea is to pull up the tent stakes and to start on the journey. And so the journey was not an easy one. They were on their way to where God had called them and was leading them. And God has called them to take action, much like God has called us to take action. And to remind us that the journey is not easy. The journey is not easy. Perhaps we're thinking there's nothing wrong with our way of life. Well, but you've realized, hey, sometimes living the Christian life is not easy, is it? But God wants us to get beyond that way of thinking, because that's an excuse that sometimes that holds us back from moving on for God. God wants to move us beyond a life of being settled and content and preoccupied with this world. Because God has a plan, God has a design. And I believe God has a plan, a design that He wants to continue to do here at Fountain City Baptist Church in our community. You see, to reach the world, we've got to start in our Jerusalem. It's great to have a mindset or a vision to want to reach people around the world with the gospel as we strive to do through missions. But if we come up here and we say, hey, we're going to go out here and we're going to just support missionaries, not going to worry about our community, we're going to die. Because it has to start in our Jerusalem. God has a plan. He has a design for our church. And by the way, that plan transcends anything that we could imagine. He wants us, the church, to obey Him and to follow by faith His direction. So God not only has a plan that He calls us to action to implement, reminds us it's not going to be easy, and He gives us the example of that through the children of Israel as He was challenging them to leave the Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. It's time to move on. Get out of your comfort zone. Don't sit back and do nothing. God has a plan. And so God wants us to be much like what He was challenging Moses for us today, to be those sojourners. Can we make a difference in our community for Christ? Sure we can. Can we make a difference in our workplace for Christ? Sure we can. That's part of what it means to move on. Some of you kids that go in your school, you can make a difference for Christ in your school where none of us as adults would be able to do. God is looking for sojourners today who will be all in, that will declare, this is not my home, but, you know, let's move on for God. I'm just a passing through here. Are you? Oh, George, this week. Been telling you about George. He said, I went to the Bible study, preacher. Went to the Bible study this week, and he says, I told the guy what you said, that you believe in a rapture. He says, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about rapture. Well, you won't see that term in the way that he is talking about it in the English way of understanding it. But in the Greek and Hebrew, in the Greek, it does. And I gave him some scripture to go back with. Now, I said, by the way, to get to heaven, God didn't say you had to believe the rapture. Okay? Now, I don't understand where he's coming from. This guy actually feels like that we're going to go through the tribulation period. And I told him, go back and tell your teacher, that's okay. He needs to know Jesus is his Savior. That's the way you get to heaven. But if he wants to go to the through the tribulation, he's more than welcome to do that. But I'm going up in the rapture when the trumpet sounds. But if he wants to go through the tribulation because he don't believe there's going to be a rapture, then that's fine. Now, when we get into heaven, then we've reached our home, right? Our homeland. But we're reminded that to be as sojourners here, we're passing through. God doesn't want us to get content here. God does not want us to feel as though this is home, because this is not home for a believer. It's time to break camp and listen to God. You know, we've had it too easy, and Christians have. In America, Christians have had it too easy. When you read of how Christians of in the early days started out, and how we are blessed to have the gospel and the privilege of living in a free country today in America, we have been blessed with all that because of our forefathers who have moved on for God and set an example. Because Christians in America today, we really need to wake up and determine, are we going to listen to God or are we going to listen to man? This new lady that was voted into office, not sure what state she's in. She's new state. She's a representative in Congress. Very liberal. Matter of fact, socialist. She's a big socialist. She came out this week in the news and said that was it 10 years she kind of predicts? 12 years? You've heard it. That, is it New York? Boy, should have guessed. But in 12 years, unless we do something in the way of taking care of the environment, then we won't be around. You know, we may not be around in 12 years, but it won't be because of what she said. Yeah. It won't be because of what she says. It could be that God says, okay, I've had enough, and in 12 years, we're out of here. That could happen today or tomorrow. A lot of that stuff, you know, we need to listen to what folks are saying out here, not so much to be argumentative, because, you know, that's part of the trap, is to draw you in to be argumentative over some of that stuff, and I try not to do that. But there's one book we cannot argue with. Cannot argue. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear about it, but this book challenges us as Christians. Don't get content with the way of the world. Don't get content in thinking the ways of the world. Don't get satisfied because the way that some of these would have you do, just sit back, let them handle things, and they're going to get us through this. Well, if that be the case, then we're doomed. If your faith and trust is in the government, if your faith and trust is in man, then you're doomed. Our faith and trust must be in what God says. This is what's going to motivate us on a daily basis to get up out of our bed to move on for that next generation. You know, let the past be the past. Now, we all have things in our life that we wish were never there. Don't you? I mean, really, if I could take an eraser and I could erase some things and erase some things in my past, I would like to do that because, you know, I'm not proud of my past in some things. But we can't do that. Now, if you're saved here today, your past is under the blood, right? We all have things. David had some things in his past that he was ashamed of, and I'm sure that as we read about it, we look at David's life, but yet David got his life right with God. He got, of course, saved and living right, and God says he's the man after my own heart. Now, I still have scars from the past. Do you have some things? I've said this before. I've got a place on my hand where I've cut it before, and it's a scar there. My forehead. I've had all kind of stitches there. My wife's hit me on the head a few times. I'm just kidding. But no, we all have things like that that are reminders of what's taken place in our past. But I'm thankful that God He don't want us to live in the past. It's under the blood. As children of God, we need to be willing to forgive one another and move on. First, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended," Paul says, "but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press," listen to what Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." If we let the past, if we hold on to the past, it'll keep us from moving on forward, won't it? And that's what Moses was challenging the children of Israel. You've got, and Moses even said to that older generation, or to the new generation, learn from the older. Don't do what they did. They stayed around and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and they didn't do anything for God. He says, move on. Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God." In other words, start a new journey. Verse 7, go back to Deuteronomy, verse 7. He says, "Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto the places," that is, "into the neighbors nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites and into Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates." What a challenge. God lays it out here through Moses. Here's a plan. Folks, we have a plan. It's right here. Sometimes people are looking for something new. We don't need anything new. The words speak of excitement in God's word. It speaks of fulfillment. And that's what Moses was challenging the people with. And really, as the old saying is, we need to look at today as the first day of the rest of our life. Today is the first day of the rest of our life. What has been done in the past? What has been done? Well, you know, some things that's out of our control. Listen, Satan would like for us to dwell on those things and never get anywhere. And a lot of times people, that's what they do. That hinders our walk. That hinders our individual life. That hinders our churches. Sometimes it hinders our marriages. And we have to be careful. So we need to, we've got a new journey. And with that journey, we can expect blessings if we listen to God. And that leads to the third point. Blessings and warnings from God. Moses, again, was reminding the people of the past so they would not reenact the past, right? And it said, those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. And as we read in verse 19 of chapter 1, Kadesh Barnea was the turning point for the older generation who heard God speaking, but they refused to move on with God. And so what happened? They ended up dying with their past failures always haunting them. This older generation never made it into the promised land. Even Moses didn't make it into the promised land. As a lesson that, hey, because you didn't listen to God, you're not going to be blessed of God. So let me say, let's not fail to heed to the voice of God today. Let's not fail to listen to obey the voice of God today. Let's not allow the disobedience of yesterday to keep us from being victorious today. We should not allow our past to destroy us. Because Satan wants to use our past that's under the blood. Satan likes to bring up our past ever so often. I mean, just to hold us back, to make us stagnant, rather than let good people move on for God. But we need to move on in the presence, because you know what? Satan knows if we're moving on. He knows if we move on with God and do as God says do, there'll be blessings. Oh, you can't bless God's people because that motivates them. When they're receiving the blessings of God, they just want to do more, right? I know I do. Thank God for His blessings. So if Satan can hold you back from going forward, he's going to keep hounding you with the past, and like he did the children of Israel. And this older generation, they didn't make it into the promised land because they could not get over their past. But the new generation moved on. And you know what? It was that new generation. It's because of that new generation is why we're here today. Why we're here today. Thank God for that. You know what? And I say the same thing about our church. You know, in Christians today, is God finished with America? No. By no means. I don't believe that yet. Because I believe there can be enough that'll say, hey, I'm ready to move on for God. I'm ready to take a stand in my community, in my church for God. Now, we have to do it one church at a time, right? Has to be willing to get on board, and their blessings. Blessings, verse 11. And the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as He hath promised you. And God did that. God's blessings would go with this younger generation. No matter your past, God wants to bless you, right? We all have a past. God wants us to be all in by faith. And let Him guide us. As you maybe this morning even come repenting past failures and hurts and disappointments, you have a tendency to hold you down, but God is going to, boy, He's going to turn and maybe start you on a right journey today if you're willing to let Him. What can we expect when that happens? Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So if you want the blessings of God beyond our expectations, beyond your expectations, we have to break camp with the past and start trusting God in the present. Would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed? Let me ask you this question. What's keeping you from coming to God today? On this invitation, if you feel a tugging at your heart to come to God, what would hold you back? Don't allow the lack of understanding of what God is doing and saying to keep you from coming this morning. Don't allow the fear of what others might think or how we might look to others keep you from coming to God. You see, God is speaking today. He's calling us to depart from our past and to come to Him. And what would be your response? Those here without Christ, you need to come to Jesus today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Today is you can be assured of eternal life. And let me say, Christians, God wants us to move on to the next level with Him. Let me ask you, will you be willing to obey the voice of God this morning? God's voice, not mine, but God's. That tugging at your heart. You see, the three men that I spoke about in the opening part of my text, they heard God speak. The first did nothing, confessing he simply did not understand what God wanted. The second, after hearing God speak, allowed the fear of how he might look to keep him from doing what God had asked him. But the third one heard God. And he set out on a lifetime journey of doing what God had asked him to do. Great blessings came into his life. Let me ask you, which are you? Let me encourage you to be that third man and find the blessings of God today. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that it's sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. And God, you don't need to come down in a vision today to get our attention. God, you don't have to come in symbols, but God, you've come already through the preaching and teaching of your Word today. You've met with us. And God, help us to respond on this invitation in the way you'd have us to respond today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.